Peter Rabbit's mother. Well, before I'm Janice, I'm powerless over food.
Hi, Janice.
And the reason I introduce myself that way is because I need to remember it every day. I'm powerless over food and my life is unmanageable. For me, that means, I've heard a lot of people come into the rooms and say, my life wasn't unmanageable, I did great, I went to work, I had a family, I did this. Well, I did all those things, but I did it gritting my teeth, and I did it because I had to. I did it because I paid the bills. I did it because I had no choice. I had a child I had to support. Boo-hoo-hoo. And this program has taught me how to do things because I want to. But before I say anything further, I have to put on my name tag that I made at TWC. We colored our own butterfly, and the woman that was leading the Bend My Knees, Bend My Will workshop brought these little bendy men to as a visual aid to bend my knees, bend my will. And I saw one woman put it on her butterfly, and I said, oh my goodness, I'm stealing that idea. And she said, that's okay, I stole it. I saw somebody else did it. So for me, this fellowship is about, it's about attraction. It's about somebody doing something fun or happy or something that they're enjoying, and it's the ability for me to learn how to do that too. Because my whole life I thought that eating was fun, and that I just did it more and more and more and more until I realized it really wasn't as much fun as I thought it was. I am a chronic relapser, and I guess I'm here with the message today that there is recovery after relapse. So, I'm Janice, powerless over food. I live in Highlands with Prince Charming and my dog, Izzy. I met the Prince through a singles ad over 20 years ago. And I knew when I met him, because of all my time in the program, that I had to do something different. Because my pattern was meet a man. Sometimes I was married to the guy. Live an extremely unhappy life, eat to release the pain, gain a lot of weight, get more and more unhappy, get a divorce or whatever, end the relationship, go back drag myself back to OA, let go of a lot of weight, enough to attract another man, and start the whole nasty process all over again. So when I met Bob, AKA Prince Charming, I knew I had to do something different. So I gave him the story about how I have a problem with food and tried to explain how, you know, I'm a compulsive eater, and then I moved on from there. And that's how I have lived over 20 years with a man who hates OA. He calls OA odd adults. he started out saying that AO. You know, and we had the talk about, honey, I've been doing this over 30 years, and if anybody's going, it's you. So I try to be nice because nasty is a character defect of mine. So that being said, to qualify myself as an eater, you know, because, I mean, Bob believes me, but sometimes I don't believe it myself because my behavior was so terrible. Forgive me, because of my joints, I need to sit down sometimes and stand up others, so that's what I'll do. I think I was 11 years old the first time I realized I had a real problem, because my parents liked to go to the Collingwood auction, and the auction would auction things, and they were showing a large box of holiday confections, and I said to myself, I'm not taking one. I'm going to say no. So when they passed it around, of course, I reached out my hand to take one, and it wasn't for sampling, it was just to look at. And my mother slapped me, you know, oh my God, I was going to say no, and I couldn't. And of course, I got the proverbial slap in the head, because I was always doing something wrong. I was always deciding to do it one way, and I just couldn't follow through. That was my life. I envy people that talk about their big Italian family and their big Polish family or their big whatever, happy, loving family. I didn't have that as a child. I always felt like I was in the wrong family. I had the wrong mother. I'd rather have my friend's family. I would go to a friend's house, and their house was a delightful mess. Their mother would come out in a nice frilly apron and be happy and say wonderful things and hug them, and I would walk into the house, and I'd get a big hug. It was wonderful. I wanted to live there. I came home, and my house was spotless. You didn't even know anybody lived there. We moved when I was 11 years old, and I don't remember a box, bottle, or can out of place. I only remember my mother hanging laundry on the line, and nothing, not a dirty dish, not anything. My mother would vacuum the rug all in one direction so that it didn't have any footprints in the rug. So I had an unhappy childhood, and it wasn't until this program that I learned, it wasn't that I had an unhappy childhood, I just had it too long. It was time to grow up and learn how to do things differently. So that's what this program has really done for me. It's taught me how to relax and think about all the people who've taught me over the years. You know, because my parents were the original teachers, and all through my childhood, there was always finger pointing that you did that wrong, you failed at that, you're bad. And I loved going to my grandmother's house. A good example was I went outside to make mud pies, which was a favorite pastime of mine. And instead of my mother hollering, my grandmother yelling at me that I was making mud pies with her silverware, she would say to me, "Give me that spoon, use this one instead." She never said, "You're a bad girl, why did you use that spoon?" So that's what I found in OA. I came into these rooms in 1977. My Eskimo was someone who admired the weight loss I had been blessed with through a weigh and pay program, and he wanted to know how I did it. So I was telling him about Weight Watchers, and I didn't tell him that I'd work 18 months to lose over 100 pounds, and my husband hated it. I didn't tell him that all I ever wanted in my entire life was to be thin, and now that I was thin and unhappy instead of fat and unhappy. That didn't show on me. On the outside, I was 29 years old. It looked good at 29. And I thought that's all I needed. But it felt that the 6-year-old, the 12-year-old child that kept getting smacked in the head and being told that she did something wrong was still alive and well in me. So when I explained what I had done in the Weigh and Pay program, he said to me, "You know, I heard about this thing called Overeaters Anonymous, and they treat food just like alcohol, and I'm going to go to a meeting." And I said, I'd like to go with you. I went to St. Cecilia's, which was a big meeting, it wasn't unusual for there to be 60, sometimes 100 people, really big meeting. And I heard a woman, an attractive woman, talk about behavior that I had been hiding for 29 years. And I was hypnotized by a program that would talk openly about eating from the garbage and stealing food and all the behaviors that I had hidden. You know, I went to college, and the house mother had to talk to me because I was taking up too much room in the refrigerator, and my housemates were complaining about me. So I heard stuff like this, you know. So I was there with my first husband at the time, in this body that I didn't understand and I didn't know what to do with. I was miserable. My husband was miserable. I wasn't the woman that he married. He didn't know who I was, and neither did I. But I saw all these people abstaining and doing things I didn't understand, and I was still a lost child from my childhood. And that first time around, I just didn't get it. My marriage deteriorated, and I relapsed, to keep it simple and say things lightly. But relapse is a stern professor, and I don't ever want to go back there again. I don't want to. I've taken the course many times, but that was only the first one. To back step a little, I need a hard bottom to do what I need to do. what brought me into the Weigh and Pay program was my mother was always a sickly person her whole life, but she passed away suddenly when she was 48 years old. I was expecting my second child. A month later, I lost the pregnancy, and that brought me to a Weigh and Pay program. I thought, this is it. I dieted with a vengeance, and that's what it was. It's when I joined the Weigh and Pay program. By the time I was 9 months into the program, my father passed away suddenly, and I was left with his fast food restaurant. Ta-da. And I continued to maintain this weighed and measured program that I learned in the Weigh and Pay program. And I think the reason it worked for me is because I weighed and measured. I developed a group of friends that I worked the program with. And at the time, this particular program was very strict. You needed a certain number of certain kind of meals a week. You weighed and measured. And not too many people knew that once you paid your it was $12 at the time. Once you paid your $12 a week, you could go to as many meetings as you wanted, and you didn't have to pay again. So this group of friends and mine, would go to several different of these meetings. Gee, sound familiar? Group of friends, weigh and measure, go to a lot of meetings a week. And I didn't know anything about OA at the time, but I can tell you that worked for me. It was great. So lost all this weight, didn't know what the heck was going, was introduced to OA. I loved it. But what I saw was all this people hugging and kissing and loving each other, and I got nervous. I thought, oh boy, more of this stuff where I don't belong. Square peg in a round hole. I'm out of here. So, you know, over the years, my first husband turned into my second husband. Same unpleasant story, same character defects. When I remember one day I was, I had an oven full of food. I just had this desperation. I turned off the oven and I went to a meeting. I hadn't been to a meeting for such a long time. There was no internet at the time. I had no computer. I had completely lost my contact with the OA program. I went to a meeting that no longer existed. And I decided then that that was not going to happen again. I went back into the OA program full force. I went to intergroup. I got a sponsor. I was extremely active in program and very instrumental in bringing the beginners meeting that I went to into full bloom. It was a wonderful meeting in Highland Park on Wednesday nights. By the time I was halfway through my weight release, that marriage ended. And I learned how to be a single parent. I learned how to go to work when I didn't want to. I learned how to lose my job and find another one. I learned how to survive through the unhappiness. And I learned how to weigh and measure the joy, because I can overdo anything. I can overdo eating, I can overdo misery, I can overdo happiness. So I learned how to step back and feel the feelings and rejoice in recovery. When the love of my life dog passed away or became ill in 2002, I stepped away from the program. You know, we all have that stuff. Dogs die, marriages end, jobs end. It's all an excuse for the fact that I'm a compulsive eater. And it doesn't have to be overeater. I can compulsively eat anything. I can take a weighted, measured meal and slam it in until suddenly it's gone and I don't realize that I've even eaten. So when I left the program again, I was in a miserable hell from 2002 to 2008. When I moved to Highlands, I thought, this is my chance. I moved to Highlands in 2006. I said, this is my chance to come back into the rooms anonymously. I'm in a different area. I can go back into the rooms. And I constantly said to a friend that was working with me, I feel a sadness outside myself. I said, people are recovering without me. They're out there. I knew the rooms were full of recovering people, and I wanted back in. How in the heck am I going to put down my will and my shame, my humiliation, and walk back into the rooms? I just didn't know how I was going to do that. So this was 2006, and I came back into the rooms June 24th of 2008. Now, in 2006, this was my New Year's resolution. I was also going to do it on my birthday, which was March. I was gonna. So I finally made it back in 2008 on my mother's birthday, June 24th. I went in kicking and screaming, which I don't understand because nobody ever said, "Who, you again? What's this about?" I did. And when I walked into a workshop and the first woman that embraced me said to me, "You deserted us." I said, "Yes, I did, and I promise you that that will never happen again." I had just had so much love for the program and desperation at that time that I was willing to do anything. I met a woman who taught me about higher power. She was very Catholic, and she brought me to a new level of spiritual awakening, which I'm convinced is the necessity of this program. I can't work this program unless I have a relationship with God. It heals every relationship I've ever had in my life. I was finally able to pray for my second husband. He left me for another woman. That was a real screamer that program helped me to get through. And it just helps me to eat one meal at a time, which is amazing for me. I am a low bottom feeder, chronic compulsive eater, chronic relapser. I owned a restaurant, but I would stop in the Burger King on the way home because I wouldn't allow anybody to see me eat. Walk around with food in my pockets. People talk about having crumbs in the car. I had it in my pockets. I would have to empty my pockets of all the crumbs and the food before I would do the laundry. It was a miserable, hellish life. And what has saved me is this fellowship and all of you. That's why I saved this name tag, because everyone that was at the TWC workshop is in this little name tag. And I hang it on my bookcase and I look at it. So what I decided to do today was, I was at a workshop one day where a woman handed out pennies. So we're going to, everybody gets a penny.
Thank you.
I remembered this when I was doing my prayer and meditation, which is, did everybody get a pen? Okay. And this is, it's a wonderful privilege for me to be here today because it requires that I pray and meditate, because I think that I get this crazy idea that I have to say something specific or be something specific or do some kind of wonderful direction so that everybody can say, I am now can be abstinent because of what I heard at this workshop and everything is wonderful. But I need the little tools and tricks and things that I've heard over the years. And a couple of other things that I wanted to share is about all the people that I've known over the years. I remember Fan. she was in her 60s when she came into program, and she would stand up and say, "I am living proof that you can teach an old dog new tricks." So I'm living proof that you can pump new life into an old program, because I've been in the rooms a long time, since I was 29 years old. I'm 65 now. And the reason this program didn't work for me is I left the rooms. I did everything but that tool. I worked with a sponsor, I weighed and measured my food, I did all that stuff, but I couldn't maintain it. And this is one of the things, this is one thing that I remembered while I was in my prayer and meditation. On the front of this penny is Honest Abe. In God we trust. On the back, E pluribus unum, many united as one. So we're going to take this penny and we're going to put the mojo in it. Just like we put the mojo in the newcomers' coins and we put the mojo in our one-year coin. I have a one-year coin. I have a two-year coin. I have a three-year coin. I have a four-year coin. I have a five-year coin. It all has the mojo in it. But unless I remember little stuff like this penny and do workshops like this and do things that are uncomfortable for me, because I think, you know, one of the things that was so attractive for me was all those gurus in the room. Boy, they knew how to quote the big book and they knew exactly what to say and they were smart and, oh boy, I got so much power and strength. I want to be one of those power and strength girls. You know, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be like my girlfriend that she says, oh man, I have so much gas from this program. I don't know, you know, I know my fellows love me because when we stood up to, for the moment of silence, there wasn't one, you know, because of me. And I thought, oh, you know, I don't want to be one of those, you know. I want to have the mojo. So we're going to put the mojo in this penny so we can look at this penny and know that we're fellowship, that there's honest Abe, in God we trust, e pluribus unum, and it takes 2 cents to make a penny. So it reminds us of all the work, it reminds me of all the work that has to go into this program so that I can get out of it. And it doesn't matter if I spend this penny, because every time I see a penny on the ground, I'm going to remember this. Every time I see give a penny, take a penny at the cash register, I'll remember this. Anytime I'm a penny short, you know, if I'm a penny short, I can't buy it, only a penny, and it only takes a penny. So, you know, just, I love all of you for being here and for listening so respectfully. Thank you very much for the opportunity to hear it. Put the penny in no man's land. Woo-hoo!
Hot stuff.
Thank you.